I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? This is awesome. It's Thursday. It's the Coach Approach. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get to, but first, I am joined by the legend, Ant, 49ers Cutback. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. It's an interesting offseason so far. I don't think free agency got off to the start that anyone was expecting. We've seen the 49ers strike on bargain basement players, and we're wondering exactly what their plan is. I think this is the first time in an offseason that we've really looked at the 49ers and been like, what exactly is the plan? And I think we're going to go through these positional needs today and try to figure out maybe a little bit of an idea of what the plan is, because it's not making sense to me for the most part. But I think it's an interesting time, and it's an interesting time for the 49ers. And everyone's wondering, is Jed York just cheap, or is this a method to the madness that the 49ers are going to figure this thing out? I think it's a really interesting time in San Francisco.
It's weird, man. It's weird. And I hope that this is just one thing, but we'll see. But we're going to talk some McCorkle. The chat is already on fire. We've got insults. It's just what it's going to be. Mac Jones brings a certain, I don't even know, PTSD, trauma, wild card. You ever see Always Sunny? Wild card! Like, Charlie, like, that's what it is. And so, let me just say this. My own personal opinion, I'm throwing this out there early. I am not a Mac Jones fan. I don't like Mac Jones. I didn't want to sign Mac Jones. But did you upgrade your quarterback to position? Yes, you did. Is he better than Brandon Allen? Yes, he is. Is he better than Josh Dobbs? Well, that's debatable, but not for Kyle Shanahan. He hated Josh Dobbs. It's really, really weird how much he disliked that man. Shanahan just has certain players that he just doesn't care how good they are. He's not going to give them a chance. But that's what it is. So, but the meat of today's episode, which I'm super excited because I haven't seen these answers. So the top 11 positions, we're going to rank them 0 to 10, okay, in whatever order. So like your offensive positions, you go right, defensive tackle, defensive end, linebacker, corner, safety. Then you talk offensive positions, interior offensive line, offensive tackles, tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. Where do you rank those 0 to 10? And you can't reuse a number. So you like, for me, this was hard because I went through and rated them. I was like, nah, that's not right. This one's more than this one. So I haven't seen Ant's answers. He hasn't seen mine. We're going to go through. And some people already putting their answers out there. Shout out to David. what are the most important positions? That's what we're going to be spending the majority of our time on. And with news, yeah, Kyle Juszczyk meeting with the Steelers today. Hope that he gets signed somewhere because the NFL is better with him around. And yeah, right here, Niner Faithful. It's just going to be weird seeing all the departed players wearing new jerseys next season. Yeah, it's just like an alternative universe where it just gets weird. So here we go. Let's dive in. Let's talk McCorkle. Mac Jones, number 10. Gosh, he cannot wear number 10, can he? He can't wear number 10.
I mean, he might as well. I mean, it's not like number 10's really brought the 49ers anything great anyways.
Ever.
It's a number that we're not a huge fan of. So, I mean, McCorkle wearing number 10 doesn't really bother me. Because at least I'm hoping number 10 never comes off the sideline. Like, that's the truth. I hope he just stays over there. And if that prevents somebody else from wearing it, that'll make me feel good. The only hope for number 10 was Cooper Kupp. We know that's probably not going to happen, but I'm saying that's the only legitimate number 10 that I can see out there that would have a shot. But when it comes to, you know, what you're going to get from McCorkle, you're going to get a guy that's going to be able to play within the offense. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan's looking at. We talked about this before when it came to Sam Darnold. Kyle Shanahan and his dad had looked extensively at Sam Darnold in that draft process. I knew 2021 would be another draft process because of the Trey Lance and all the decisions there, that they looked really deep at every single quarterback. So they knew these guys inside and out. There's a reason Mike McDaniel went Zach Wilson. There's a reason that Kyle Shanahan went McCorkle. And I think you're getting a quarterback that is going to efficiently run the offense. You're not going to see anything dynamic. You're not going to see anything deep down the field. No athleticism, really. There's not anything tremendous about him. He just processes, gets the ball out on time. And I think that's what Kyle's looking for, the backup quarterback, somebody that can run his offense and be efficient and try to help you win a couple games if something happens to Brock, heaven forbid.
Yeah, and, you know, let's get through some of these questions on Mac because, you know, again, Marco comes out. Do you guys think hiring a Mac Jones confirms Kyle really had him? No, I'm not that tinfoil. Kyle Shanahan is, I still think, now his pocketbook might be limited in what he can spend on. He gets what he wants. He's the one that hired the GM. I don't think that he was talked out of anybody. I think Kyle said that he liked Trey Lance. He liked Mac Jones. They swung for the fences, which was the right call. Was Trey Lance right? No. But I would much rather take a team. If you're going to trade three first, you swing for the fences. You don't take the layup. And Mac Jones is exactly what I thought he was. Here, I want to pull up. I pulled my pre-draft write-up on Mac Jones. This was before the first round of the draft, wherever he goes, right? Efficient. Ant talked about it. Best pass efficiency rating in NCAA history. He was off the charts. Led the NCAA in completion percentage, 77%. Passing yards per attempt, 11.3. I mean, great. Loves to attack trail man coverage. That's his, like, go-to. You're not going to see a lot of that for the 49ers. Read progressions, A+. Very common to see him get through three reads on a given play. Can read the entire field, left to right, right to left. Not a lot of arm strength. Much more of an anticipation thrower. Stop me if you heard that before with Shanahan quarterbacks. Catchable deep ball, don't expect 60-yard bombs. Amazing at limiting negative plays. We did not see that in the NFL. That changed big time. But probably my favorite thing that I wrote about him was my player comp. I said Joe Burrow, but without the movement, without the wow factor, and without the arm strength. That's who he is. He is efficient, but his NFL trajectory has not been that. He was at his best his rookie year. It has just gotten worse every single year for three consecutive years. So what are your thoughts quickly? Because I don't want to be too dismissive. Kyle Shanahan said he really liked Trey Lance. He really liked Mac Jones. He went with Trey Lance. Do you put any more credit to Kyle Shanahan got talked out of taking who he wanted?
No, I don't think so. I think he always wanted Trey Lance in that situation because Trey Lance was the potential Josh Allen. There was nothing about Mac Jones that said he was going to be an elite quarterback, just that he would be an effective quarterback. And he was always kind of more in the Jimmy G type realm where if you have the parts around him, he can win football games. But the question was, is he going to be able to win the big games? And I think that that's what Kyle and John looked at with Trey Lance and decided that he had more upside, more potential. And that's what you got to shoot for, especially at the top of the draft. You're trying to get a guy that's going to change the game, a guy that's going to finish off a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. And that's why they went with him. It didn't work out, but I understand it. But these two guys are in completely different realms. If you'd have told me Mac Jones went in the second round, I think that would have been the more believable position. But New England needed a quarterback, and they got him. I will say this is probably the best situation for Mac Jones that he's been in. New England wasn't great. You look at Jacksonville, that's not wonderful either. Trevor Lawrence has never been able to do anything there. They've changed coaches a couple of times. So this will be his most stable and best situation. Kyle Shanahan and that system was able to fix Sam Darnold. Maybe Mac Jones will get a little bit better and be an effective starter if something happened and he had to step in for Brock. That's really what they're looking at. But really, we want 13 on the field at all times, and Mac Jones is just a break in case of emergency type quarterback.
Yeah, and I think it's smart. Like, I don't think that this is a bad signing. I dislike Mac Jones. I dislike him on the field. I dislike him off the field. It's like the Dr. Seuss thing. No, I do not like green eggs and ham. Like, I just don't like the way he plays. I think he's a little bit – I almost cursed right there, Ant. Almost cursed. I just think he's a little bit of a I can't think of a proper word to use that's not going to be – he's a little bit of a baby. Obviously, you got the facial expressions, the crying, walking off the field with an ankle, the, you know, whatever, the Tibet, Alabama partying, you know, the night before games and night after games. Is he Johnny Manziel? No. But is he a good backup quarterback that can make $3 million a year? Yeah, cool. That you got to bargain price. And I like this question from David. He says, is Mac Jones a hardball move for a Purdy contract? We don't have to have you type thing. I don't think so. I do think that this is a quality backup, and it's not just a one-year signing. It's a two-year deal. So it's not just the get Sam Darnold, flip him for a comp pick, whatever else. I think that Kyle Shanahan legitimately likes Mac Jones, and I think that he is a fit in this system. Progression, progression, progression. You're getting somebody that's very similar to Brock Purdy. Now, he has a stronger arm than Brock Purdy. I think almost everybody does in the NFL. But it is definitely not top 80% arm strength. Like, you have two of the weakest arm quarterbacks in the NFL that are anticipation-type throwers. He's not near as athletic as Brock. He's bigger. But I do think that he fits Kyle Shanahan's scheme. And so the fact that he could practice, you don't have to have, like, with Josh Dobbs, you have to have a different set of play calls. With Trey Lance, you had a different – No. This is – I ain't changing any play calls, any scripts. You go run the same damn thing. So I think from a fit scan standpoint, I get that. I totally understand. Now, the question here for Chris, has McCorkle ever played in a system similar to Shanahan's? The answer is absolutely yes. Whenever he was at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator. And so, which he adapted a lot because Sarkisian went from the Falcons, wherever he took over, he replaced Shanahan when Shanahan came here, adapted, molded Shanahan's scheme, and then took that to Alabama. So, yes, there is very similar system there. Do you think that that plays an effect? Does that affect kind of Mac stepping in for the 49ers?
Yeah, I think so, because now you've already seen him do it. I mean, that's the thing. You see him play within a system. It's easier to translate it when you've actually seen it happen. So having familiarity with the system's key, but the things that you brought up in your draft breakdown are the reasons why. The anticipatory throws, the types of things that he does within the pocket, the ability to read side, you know, from one side to the other. It's not a 1-2 guy. There's a lot of quarterbacks that come out of the draft that are 1-2 guys, and then they got to run. Mac will sit in the pocket and go through the reads. Now, if somebody gets close to him, he's going to make a business decision. That's one difference from him and Brock, is this guy will go down. Brock will fight for everything he's got. But maybe that will kind of, I guess, bleed out into McCorkle, because Brock is going to fight for everything. I don't know. McCorkle's an interesting guy. You know, I just remember him dancing in the Pro Bowl and doing all those things. He's an awkward white guy. I mean, that's just the best way to say it. He's a fun quarterback as far as that goes, so he's kind of interesting. But I think he fits, you know, and this is what Kyle has wanted for a while, is to get quarterbacks that make sense. And right now, I mean, and this could change, with Deebo Samuel being gone and with the backup quarterback being very similar to Brock, it doesn't look like there's going to be very many changes in the offense as far as what your game plan is going to be. Everyone can kind of do everything you need to do. So that will be easier for Kyle Shanahan to plan out his game plans. He doesn't have to have special things for the quarterback, special things for Debo. That'll make it a little bit more consistent. I think that's part of it. And then also John Lynch said, yeah, when it comes to backup quarterback, we got to be a little bit better with our money because Brock's going to get another contract. So this is what they do. And hey, it's a guy with upside. Who knows?
He got a lot less than Sam Darnold did, than Josh Dobbs did. Dobbs was pretty much on par. But, like, this is a value. You're paying one of the lower contracts for quarterback two in the NFL. And that's on par with this offseason, is we are only going after cheap players. Literally day one of big-time free agents, and you're signing guys to almost vet minimum deals. The only team really in the NFL to do that. So I think that this plays into that. And it's a two-year value deal. And I will say this, whenever you brought up the Pro Bowl, the hardest he has ever played is when he knew nobody would hit him. Like, that dude falls down and cries and, like, literally just scared of contact. And that was who he was at Alabama, too. So he was that way with the Patriots. He was that way with the Jags. Like, he's soft. He's just a very, very soft football player that plays quarterback. The one time he wasn't soft was the Pro Bowl when nobody was hitting. And then he goes all out and celebrates like he's whatever. I don't mind celebrations. And, yeah, it's cringe. It's corny. That's who he is. But now he's on the Niners. And so... You are a fan slash analyst, whatever you want to call yourself. I don't know what to call myself. Does this affect how you see Mac Jones? Because I can't stand this guy. He's one of my favorite players to root against in the NFL. But now he's wearing the red and gold. How do you balance, man, this dude's a little bit of a turd. He's cringe, not a good teammate. How do you balance that with now he's, you know, on the 49ers?
I think I just let it play out. That's usually how I let it happen, is see if this guy kind of endears himself, you know, throughout the process. Let's see what happens when he gets into training camp and how he operates and how he carries himself, you know, and you're hoping that maybe he's going to carry himself differently and you'll start to change your opinion on him because you just don't know. But for me, I've always found him kind of entertaining during the whole draft process. We would be talking about other guys and then, you know, I would purposely put him into the show as out of nowhere just to annoy people because I just think he's kind of funny. He gets on people's nerves. And so that part kind of is hilarious, but it's going to add a different dynamic to the team for sure. But yeah, I mean, if he goes out there and performs and he plays well, I think everyone in the fan base is going to come around to who Mac Jones is. But if he plays bad, they're going to turn on him in a drop of a hat, as well they should. And I think that's one of the things he's got to deal with. So, yeah, it's going to make for an interesting wild ride again. And we know there's going to be some conversation at some point that Mac Jones should be taking over for Brock Purdy. We just know it's coming.
Just know whoever says that is, I don't want to say a moron. I just got to say, like, nah, bro. The one thing I will say, here's the positives, okay? He's already had to be relegated to a backup quarterback. And so he had that last year behind. So, like, he knows his role a little bit better. Like, I don't think that he's going to be coming in, hey, it's mine, I'm competing. I don't think that's the case. You look at the contract, that's not the case, especially when Brock Purdy still gets done. But the thing is experience. Yeah, he is young. He's 26 years old, but he started 49 games. That's 13 more starts than Brock Purdy has. Like, he has played football, a considerable amount of football. He has never been on a team as talented as the 49ers' current roster. Yeah, you heard me say that. He's never been on a team as talented as the 49ers' current roster, especially offensively. So could he plug in and be a piece? For sure. For sure. I'm not a McCorkle guy, but hey, hopefully he plays great for the 49ers. Nobody would be happier than myself. Now, shout out to my man Applesauce. He says, John, is the San Francisco Draft Day Rush Road Trip event, quote, big night in North Beach, you promised at the Big Bears game? It is. It took a long time. We'll talk off camera. But the draft is how the 49ers are going to build everything, Ant. And I'm so excited because Ant and I were just talking off stage. He's going to be there. So if you want to come join the faithful for a live 49ers Rush event in downtown San Francisco, here are the details. I am so excited. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is heading into year 6. We started back in 2019, and we're coming home to the Bay Area. For the draft, we're going to be live downtown in the North Beach area at the historic Broadway Studios for day 1 and day two of the NFL draft. So come join us. We're going to have join the faithful live broadcast of draft picks as they are coming in live time with full TVs. We got big screens. We've got trivia. We've got giveaways and much, much more. Doors will open one day before or 1 hour before the draft starts on both days. And if you're coming from work, no worries. If your ticket, you buy your ticket, automatic guaranteed entrance, show up whenever you can. Kids get in free. And if you are struggling trying to get your youngsters to be more on board with the 49ers or the draft or whatever, bring them out to an event. They get in free with a ticketed adult, and we make sure our entire team knows kids come first. Every single youngster leaves with something tangible that they can tie to this experience. Come give it a shot. Tickets are currently only $20 for each day. That's it. We're not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to build a wonderful experience. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets today for day one and day two of the NFL draft. Prices will go up, but with where they are right now, just $20 a piece and kids get in free. Join us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. They say money can't buy you happiness. That might be true, but money sure can make you feel a lot of other things. When did you decide to take care of your money and why? Me, as somebody that branched out, got away from the normal paying job and had to take care of my own business and started from the ground up, money is stressful and it's been hard for me. But Acorns was a major part of the decision that made me be able to do the 49ers Rush podcast. Acorns is a financial wellness app that helps you take control of your money with simple tools that make it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. My favorite thing, you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, as little as $5. Even if all you have is spare change, you can get started. So if you're ready to take control of your money, sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers. Again, acorns.com/49ers, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right. I just saw the news. Raheem Mostert just signed a one-year deal with the Raiders. So he ain't coming back. And again, Niners getting younger and cheaper. So if you're expecting them to make a big deal move now, don't hold your breath. So let's get into the meat of today's show. We are going to rank all 11 position groups, 0, meaning the least amount of need, to 10, meaning the most amount of need. I'm going to let Ant kind of take this over. Let's start at 0. Which position group for you, and we'll kind of break down these as we go. We'll talk through them. Which position group, to in your opinion, offense, defense, whatever, has the least amount of need?
Well, it's interesting you bring up Raheem Mostert, because I do think it's running back. You have Christian McCaffrey. You have Jordan Mason. You have Isaac Arendo. You re-signed Patrick Taylor. You got Israel Abanikanda. You could hit somebody in the draft real late or even sign an undrafted free agent. To me, when Jordan Mason potentially was coming back, you don't have a need at running back. And then the question mark is, fullback? Do you need a fullback? Do you need somebody that can play Kyle Juszczyk's role? I'm not sure that's what Kyle's going to do anymore. So with that being said, I think that running back is not a real need for the 49ers. This is probably the position that's the most stacked depth-wise. They've addressed it in so many ways, whether that is, you know, free agents or young guys. And they do have a lot of young guys. So I think running back is not a need at all.
Would you draft a day three running back with that being such a strength in this draft? You have five. Here's the current no particular order. CMC, Isaac Garendo, Patrick Taylor, Israel Abadikananda, and Jordan Mason. You only got five. Would you draft another one?
Yeah, I'd be interested in drafting one if one fell at a certain spot, you know, that it was comfortable, especially if someone with an elite trait, I think that would be a player to go with. But I think there's so many really good running backs. There's probably 30 draftable running backs in this draft that there's probably going to be a couple of guys that are undrafted free agents. And we've seen the 49ers be able to hit on those guys. Jordan Mason is one of those guys that they were able to hit on. So I think that it could be late or it could be an undrafted free agent to kind of come in and compete.
Okay, that I had running backs at one, so I'm curious if we flip these. Who's your running back zero for Ant? Who's your number one?
My number one is quarterback.
We just flipped them.
Yeah, so now that we've got McCorkle, you know, I mean, depending on who's three, who cares, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point. But yeah, I just don't think it's a need. I don't think they need to address it. And so it's either going to be Tanner Mordecai or somebody else. But even then, it's going to be someone extremely cheap, and that'll be fine. The two guys are the main way to go. So we flipped it for sure. Running back and quarterback, I think, are the easiest of the two positions to see that they've got depth now, and they've taken care of it.
There we go. I like that. All right. I'm cool with that one as well. So who's number two? So zero running backs, one quarterback. What position is two on your need scale?
I'm going with wide receiver. I think adding DeMarcus Robinson kind of made this one a little bit more comfortable. Even if you go, I know there's a potential suspension and all that, but you invested in Ricky Pearsall with the first round pick. I thought he came on and played pretty well last year. You've got, young guys with Jacob Cowing. You've got Juwan Jennings, who really came into his own. Whether he's playing X or he's playing somewhere else, he's able to get open and make plays. We still got Brandon Ayuk coming back at some point. And I think that I like guys like Isaiah Hodgins, you know, that could come in, and Russell Gage that could come in and make some plays if you need him to. But I did hear that they're still in the veteran market. And I wanted to ask you if you thought that they were still going to potentially sign a veteran as well. They did one, DeMarcus Robinson. Could they also sign another one and make this a non-draft need completely?
I wouldn't mind it. And again, my whole stance was you already have two young wide receivers you're working on, and Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall. And Jacob Cowing still needs work. I think Pearsall still needs a little bit of work, but he at least showed, yeah, he's starter worthy already. So I'm fine on the young wide receiver. If somebody falls to you, I don't mind drafting one. That's not my thing. But the 49ers don't keep a lot of wide receivers. They really 5 to 6. And so if you are going to sign somebody, it needs somebody that's going to have an impact early. You go get DeMarcus Robinson, who I like, but man, he might get suspended with that DUI. So now you're still kind of, is he going to be out two games? Do you want to start out with, you know, so another veteran that is available? There's lots of them. I mean, there are so many guys that you could pick up off the scrap heap, which is all the 49ers are doing this offseason, is super cheap deals. So yeah, if you can go get somebody like an Elijah Moore or a Juju Smith-Schuster or a J.J. Chark or something like that, where it's cheap, you know what they are. They've been around in multiple systems. They can play week one, week two when Ayuk gets back. So you're kind of hoping DeMarcus Robinson plus whoever this number two guy is takes the place of Ayuk early, and then once Ayuk finally gets back, then you have the depth there. So I wouldn't be upset about it. I do. I think with Juwan Jennings last year in his contract, I want to extend him. I don't think the 49ers are going to. So now you also have to plan for next year, a year out. And so that's why that makes sense. So if you go sign a vet and you get him on a 2-year deal, I would like that. But yeah, I had wide receivers too. So again, you had running back zero, quarterbacks one, wide receiver two. Let's get to the number three on the Ant need scale with where the 49ers currently are.
I'm going with cornerback. And, you know, this probably would have been a lot higher a few days ago. But I think that, you know, them going out and making a move and bringing in the Seattle cornerback, I think was a solid move. I think Trey's a solid player. And really, that's what they had to do is find cornerback three. They also, you know, claimed, another Trey off of waivers from the Rams, which is phenomenal. They go two Lukes, two Treys, making it happen here with the names. But I think you got, you know, a little bit of depth, and I think that was the key. I think they do have their three cornerbacks now. You already had your two starters, and then now you're just adding in depth. Could you address it in the draft? Yes. Could you address it even more in free agency? Of course. But I don't think this is, you know, anything that they're not comfortable with. And we've seen Robert Saleh get it done with Akilah Witherspoon and with Emmanuel Mosley and guys like that, that they, you know, that they were able to draft in the third round, or Emmanuel Mosley that they picked up, you know, later on. And so I think that this is something that they address, and I don't think it's a huge value when you already got Renardo Green and Diamond Lenore ready to go. And so I think they feel comfortable with corner, and I don't think it's a big need anymore, even though I did think it was a higher need probably before free agency and they started making some moves.
So my question, they still haven't said how much Trey Brown signed for. I'm telling you, that's small. Like, it's somebody that's missed 39 games in 4 years. Are you concerned moving forward with him as your cornerback three? I'm concerned about it.
I think you're always concerned when it comes to injuries. But I think the 49ers, I mean, even last year when they went with Isaac Yedem and Rocky Sin and guys like that, like, they're comfortable with that third cornerback being somebody that, you know, is not normally a big name, like just coming in and playing, and they're putting him at boundary corner and they're trying to protect him because Diamondre Lenore does so much now. It used to be a bigger value for cornerback three because they were worried about them being able to play the nickel, a certain attitude. So I do think that they're going to find a way to address corner in the draft, and maybe that guy will come in and press Trey Brown for that spot. But they find ways to kind of skimp at positions, and cornerback under Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans was one of those positions that they were able to do that.
Mm. I like that. And man, NY Niner says, I tried to rank these 0 to 10, could only get as far as 3. I see holes everywhere. Our roster looks like a bagel store. See, I had cornerback 6 on my scale. You had it 3. So this is our first big discrepancy. So I'm curious to see what these next two positions are. So cornerback at 3, where's our number 4 spot on the need scale as we get more and more serious and more dire as we go through this list?
Yeah, I got tight end next, and I think that they addressed it, you know, in free agency already. I think that they do need to get a third tight end. I'm not sold on Jake Tungis. I'm not sold on Braden Willis. I think that they need to get a solid third tight end, but I think this is an easy fix in the draft. I think there's talented players in the draft that you can get in mid rounds that can step in. A lot of them are better pass catchers than blockers. You already have your blocking tight end, so now you can get a pass catcher who can develop as a tight end, and you could use those guys and develop a nice tight end there. And so when I was doing my rankings, I tried to find, if you were one or two deep or you had your starters, I tried to keep it a little bit lower on the scale if you're filling in depth. So that's kind of my thought process. And I thought tight end, it could have easily flipped with cornerback. I thought those ones were really close. I just thought that they've added so much depth recently that it's less of a need. But I still think we need a third tight end for the 49ers to move this one even further down.
Yeah. The tight end class is crazy deep, and there's so many guys. I want to move tight end. If I could have, like, John Chapman, you can have any player that, you know, in the third round or fourth round or whatever, it's Harold Fannin Jr. Like, I freaking want him so bad. And if you want the fullback role, and like people keep, I still see people post, oh, well, Luke Farrell's going to be a fullback role. And I'm just like, you have not watched his tape at all. You have not looked at his alignment at all. That is not what he brings. And I see the same stuff about Trey Brown saying, oh, he's going to be nickel. He's 5'10". That dude is as far from a nickel corner as you could possibly get. He's an outside only corner. And so, like, I don't think that the fit is there. And I had tight ends 3. So you had them 4, so we're kind of in agreement there. Now let's take us to 5. What is the 5th most need position for the 49ers currently?
I got safety. You know, I know that we've been bringing in everyone. We'll see what happens with Juan Thornhill. I know he's coming in for a meeting with the 49ers, and they've addressed the depth of safety at least, which I think was a question mark. I'm still not sold on the starters, but we have 2 starters, and I think that that's something that you look at when you're looking at need. So now you could, with the depth and the starters, you could go into the draft and make this more of a luxury. I would still love to see them go get an Andrew Mukuba, you know, or go get, you know, Jonas Sanker or somebody in this draft that could come in and compete, because I'm not sold on Jair Brown right now. But I think that this is still a position they've addressed pretty heavily in free agency, and I don't think it's as big a need because they've taken care of the depth issues.
Yeah, and I'm not sold on Jair Brown, but part of me wants to just chalk that up to Nick Sorensen, put him in the worst possible situation. Every single player on the 49ers defense got worse. Rookies, you know, you don't have the continuity there. But Diamondor Lenore was the only player that improved last year, I think, defensively. And that's because Nick Sorensen was his position coach the year before. So, Nick Sorensen factor is gigantic. We have good tape from Jair Brown. I do want more speed. And if you look at Richie Grant, he's quick. He's a 4-4 guy. So you did address the speed there. I'm not sure if George Odom's going to be on this roster long-term. I could see him being released relatively soon, but we'll see. I know he's got an option coming up. We'll see here. Right here, Alan says, we do, I think he said, not have a starting free safety. We do not. So yeah, that is a need. You said safety 5. I said safety 4. Close again, my friend. All right, let's do number 6 for you.
Interior offensive line. I think that they addressed interior offensive line with Ben Bartsch. I think they still like his upside and value there. They have Spencer Burford. They have depth at the position. They have Nick Sakel potentially. One thing about Nick Sakel is he was very solid last year as far as pass blocking in the games that he got in. That he was very, very good. PFF over a 70 grade in pass blocking. The run blocking still needs to get better. He's in the 50s. It's not great. But they've got some potential there. I think you see Matt Hennessy, there's some potential there. We need to upgrade starting positions, right? You need to upgrade center. I would love for them to upgrade guard even over Ben Bartsch and get a consistent guy, Donovan Jackson, Arianti Ursary, somebody like that that could step in and be an absolute beast on the inside. But right now, I think that they're comfortable with it, and we at least have starters across the board and depth. And we could question how good those starters are, but they at least have it. They've been serviceable so far, good enough to get them to the Super Bowl. And I think that's something to consider in my rankings.
David R. asked me a question, email that he wanted to talk about with you. What are your thoughts on Nick Sakel playing center? Because I know the first year he didn't, second year he did, he got benched. I think we were sitting next to each other that day where he had 4 bad snaps and they just pulled him from center in the middle. It was inside drill or something. They're like, dude, get the. And then the next year he comes out last year, actually improved pretty consistently. Does he factor into that center role?
I think he does. I think center is actually his best position. I think when you looked at what he did in preseason, he was a lot more effective, a lot more consistent playing center than he was playing left guard. I thought Ben Bartsch outplayed him at left guard and Nick Sakel outplayed Bartsch at center. So I do think he's a part of that mix. I think it's a 3-man dance there right now. Jake Brendel, Matt Hennessy, Nick Sakel. This is Sakel's last chance to prove it.
Do you put Drake Nugent in there? Or is he not even being considered? It's still a developmental play.
I know a lot of people love him. I think he really struggled with the arm length. I when I saw him at training camp last year, it was a definite struggle. We've seen guys make huge jumps from year 1 to year 2, so I don't want to count him out. I don't want to say don't consider Drake Nugent. I just think it's really difficult. Whenever Chris Verster talks about he's on the brink of having too short of arms altogether, that makes you a little bit nervous. But he has the intellect, the football IQ. He can definitely do it. But if you look at him and Nick Sakel, for instance, a stark contrast between size. 6'6" with the long arms versus, you know, a guy that's got little short arms. I just think they're completely different players. But I like Drake Nugent enough to let him be a part of that process. But I have a weird feeling that Matt Hennessy is going to be really pushing everyone for that position, and I hope I'm right.
I really hope you are. I would take anything. And it's funny, whenever I'm listening to you explain Drake Nugent and his struggles, I'm like, dude, we've seen that from our starting center for 3 consecutive years. And so, I put interior offensive line 7. You said 6. So I was 1 more on the need scale there. But I don't think the 49ers are going to address this position. I don't think the 49ers are even going to draft a guard or a center. I think if the 49ers do draft an O-lineman, it's going to be a hybrid guard tackle, and they would put them at left guard first and then flex out to tackle. But I completely disagree with that assessment. However, if I put my Chris Forster lens on, yeah, he's going to have children with Jake Brendel, how much he loves him. And that breaks my heart because I think it's the worst starter of all 22 on this current roster. And there's some bad starting positions, some bad ones. So That was your interior offensive line. You had six. Let's do seven.
It's tackle. You just lost Jalen Moore. He moves on to Kansas City. Now you need a swing tackle. And I'm not sure the 49ers have it because they've been drafting all these guys that are offensive tackles that need to move inside. So I don't think they really have that guy. And I know people have brought up like Austin Pleasance. That's, you know, definitely a possibility. But I think that they need to address it. This is why your thought process of them drafting an offensive tackle or a hybrid guy makes a lot of sense. Hey, go get my guy, Donovan Jackson. He'll fix both problems. He can play left tackle. He can play guard. And you have a guy that can do it. But they definitely need to address the position. And like I said, whenever there's a hole, and that the tackle position right now, there's a hole behind Trent Williams and Colt McKivitz. That's where I think it elevates over interior offensive line because at least those holes are filled. So they need to figure this thing out, and they need to get someone. My guess is it's going to be either a low-priced veteran or somebody that they hit in the draft that they believe could be that guy. We've seen them do it in the past with guys like Justin Skule or even Colton McKivitz, guys that could step in and then eventually become starters. I think that's probably what they look for in this draft, a mid-round, fourth, fifth, sixth guy that can step in and play that position.
And I think that they are going to keep that open. You know, they met with a lot of the top offensive tackles, and I don't think that they're going to shy away from that position. But if the board doesn't go their way, Justin Skule's out there on free agency right now. Like, you could bring him back. He's had his experiences, bring him back. I think he could play pretty well in that spot. Andre Dillard, like there are guys, Jedrick Wills, there are guys that you can go get to be that swing tackle role. But man, I would much rather be a high upside rookie that could flex to guard early. And then when Trent walks away, move to that left tackle spot. And again, just, I know we've talked a lot of draft and we haven't today, but if you had your pick, let's say Mimbu's gone, and you're looking at Will Campbell, you're looking at Josh Simmons, you're looking at Kelvin Banks. Who are you picking?
I have to pick Kelvin Banks by process of elimination. I don't know how many people are going to see Will Campbell as a starting left tackle in the NFL. Like, I think that's a question mark. And then I think when you look at Josh Simmons, the injury concerns are just too risky right now. I mean, maybe he's going to go to his pro day and he's going to show out and all of his medical is going to check out. But I think that's still going to scare a lot of teams away from Josh Simmons. So I would probably go with Kelvin Banks, even though I do like Kelvin Banks. I think he's a perfect fit for the 49ers scheme. He is a guy you could stick at left guard next to Trent Williams, and he could win there. Or you could just have him be the understudy, and he could be that swing tackle. If something happened to Colt McKivitz, he could step in and play right tackle, no problem. If you wanted a competition, you could probably do that as well. I just don't know if they would want a rookie offensive lineman on the outside initially if they didn't have to. But, yeah, Kelvin Banks would be the pick.
I like it, too. And if you want to bet who goes first overall or certain players to certain teams, this is where you got to do it. If you're serious about sports betting, you need a sports book that actually works for you. And that's why I use MyBookie. I've been working with them for over 5 years now. And MyBookie, you're in control. Better odds, better wins, less hassle than other guys, with the biggest selection of player bets and prop bets. Early cash out options, live betting lets you jump in at any time. So if you miss it before tip-off or game time starts, guess what? You get to play your way. Whether you're locking in picks pregame, riding the action live, MyBookie makes sure you always have access to the action. It's not just sports. MyBookie hosts the party that never ends with full-fledged casino. They've got everything from blackjack, roulette, video poker, slots, you name it. So if you're new to MyBookie, sign up now with promo code 49ERS or use this QR code next to me. Get a deposit bonus up to $2,000. Remember, gambling's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's all about building up your funds over time. Don't settle for second-rate book. Bet smarter, win bigger, only at MyBookie. All right, we got three positions of need. The biggest, and guess what? I hate to say it, on my list, these are the three biggest positions as well. These are my 8, 9, and 10, so we're in agreement here. And the remaining positions, in no particular order, we'll go with 8 first, but the three remaining positions, you've got defensive tackle, you've got defensive end, you've got linebacker. So, Ant, which one is your number 8 biggest need on the roster for the 49ers currently?
I went with linebacker. I think Same. With Dre Greenlaw moving on, you got D Winters, and you know, I love D Winters in coverage. I think when it comes to playing nickel, which they're going to be in, you know, 70%, 70 plus percent of the time, he's going to do great. And I think that that's really great. I think the problem is when you're going against teams that want to load up and run against you, how is he going to play against the run? That's my question mark. Dre was a monster at stopping the run, a secure tackler. D. Winters has great instincts, but I haven't seen him be able to finish consistently and make those plays and be able to shed blocks and those sort of things. And then I just have a question about Sam. I know Curtis Robinson's coming back, but he's coming back off an injury. They weren't really, really willing to give him that spot last year. Is he ready for that role? Where is Tatum Bethune in his development? I mean, this guy can stop the run, but in coverage, he's a little bit of a liability. I've seen a lot of him. I've watched Tatum Bethune, you know, over and over in college. So I think that they need more depth at the position. I think they could use an actual starter at one of those spots, whether it's Will or Sam, to really stabilize that linebacker group. That's why I'm a huge fan of a guy like Jihad Campbell in the draft. I don't know if they would go round one for Jihad Campbell. I do think he's going to go in the top 20 now, but I think that dude's a beast. I think there are other good linebackers in this draft as well that could come in and step in. But yeah, that's kind of one of my draft crushes. I'm convicted about him. I like him a lot.
Okay. So if we stick with this idea that it's an eight need, which is crazy because you have youth, you have D Winters, you have Tatum Bethune, you have Curtis Robinson, you have Jalen Graham, you just signed Luke Gifford. You have the bodies in the building, but both of us see this as a level eight need. So is Demetrius Knight second round pick? Is that too early for him in your opinion?
I think it is too early for Demetrius Knight. I think he's kind of moving up boards a little bit. I always thought he was more of a third round pick, you know, pick 75 for the 49ers would make a little bit more sense, but he is a guy that flashes. He's got a lot of speed and athleticism. He hits hard. So, I mean, he's going to translate to a lot of people's teams' thoughts and needs at linebacker. I wouldn't go 43 for him. I think there's too many really good players. And I think there's some guys you could get later. Yeah, they're not Knight, but you got like Jeffrey Bossa. You got like Teddy Buchanan. You got Chris Paul Jr. Like these guys could step in and
you didn't say Carson Swissinger, and so I'm going to get offended. Do you not consider him in that category, my friend?
No, I do. I do like okay. Carson Swissinger. I kind of think Carson Swissinger is probably going to go at the end of round two. I think he's going to kind of go in the middle of the 49ers pick. So I wonder if he'll actually be available for them to pick.
My least favorite thing about the draft is certain players are always eliminated based off of where you are picking, where you're slotted at from the jump. That's always my, I don't know how you remedy it. And I don't think that you really can. You'd have to do major trades, which a lot of times you don't see those huge swap trades, but man, I just love Carson Swissinger. I freaking, from walk-on to team captain, are you kidding me? Ah, that is just the stuff legends are made of. Linebacker, huge need, huge need. So here we go. We got our final two, and both of them are defensive linemen. We have defensive tackle and defensive end, so we're going to switch it up here. We're going to go straight to 10, and then we'll go back down to 9. What is your biggest need? The 10 out of 10 biggest need, and I'm pretty sure we agree on this one.
It has to be defensive tackle.
Yeah.
With all the movement, Malik Collins gone, Javon Hargrave gone, there's just a lack of depth. And I think it's not just depth, but you look at it, and we don't have a single starter at defensive tackle right now.
Not one.
No, Kevin Givens is not a starter. I like Kevin Givens as a rotational piece. I don't mind him. Jordan Elliott, I don't mind as a rotational piece. I don't want either one of those guys starting. Evan Anderson is a nice young player, but he's a two-down player. He's not going to rush the passer. That's not what he does. And then you look at Kalia Davis, and besides the one preseason game where he got hurt, we haven't really seen him flash and make plays. There's every once in a while. So I think the 49ers really need to revamp this entire room from starters all the way to depth. And I've said this for a while. We need it to where one of those guys, either Evan Anderson or Kalia Davis, aren't good enough to make this football team for the defensive line to be good enough to really make some headway this year. They've got to reshape this D-line. And yes, this is the perfect draft to do it. You've got so many really good defensive linemen. It doesn't matter if you need a plug defender or you need a three tech that can get in the backfield and make plays. You need guys that can do both. They have it all in this draft. So if ever you were going to go big on defensive line, this is it. But yeah, this is the most barren room or bare room that I've seen the 49ers have in a long time.
It's rough, man. You got four pieces, but as you said, none of them are starters, all rotational guys. So let me ask you this. If you had to start, we only got four. Who are your two starters currently on the roster? Like you've got to send your unit out there, your starters. Who are your two starters right now?
You know, it's tough. I think it's probably Kevin Givens, and it's probably Jordan Elliott for the mere fact that, you know, he can somewhat do both. I wasn't a huge fan of his play last year, but I worry about Evan Anderson being able to put pressure on the quarterback. And you don't have Leonard Floyd anymore. I know that's a different position, but at least with that, you could pull Evan Anderson off the field and you could have put Etor Gross-Matos in to rush from the inside. But I just think that right now, those will be your two starters, which stinks. I think if Evan Anderson improved, which I think he will improve from last year to this year, maybe he could step in on downs one and two. But I have real question marks about whether he can rush the passer consistently. Just didn't see it last year.
No, he's a two-down player, but he's good at that. I think that's huge. Appreciate the super chat from my man, James Montgomery. Thank you so much. He says, would you trade Ayuk right now for a starting caliber defensive tackle?
I think this is the question, and I know it's splitting hairs here, but are we getting an elite defensive tackle, like somebody that's going to dominate football games, somebody that's going to change his defense, or are we just getting a starting caliber defensive tackle, right? That's the difference between getting Malik Collins and getting somebody that can go in there and completely wreck games. You know, I think that's the question mark. But I think the 49ers would consider it. Potentially, they don't mind moving off this contract, and taking care of defensive line is definitely something, you know, they'd be willing to do. I just don't think Brandon Ayuk currently with the injury holds that much value on the open market. I think teams were interested in Ayuk right now because they thought they were going to be able to kind of take advantage of the 49ers and get him pretty cheap. I don't think that's the case. I think they're going to wait for Ayuk to come back, but it'd be tempting for the right defensive tackle. I just don't think that it really makes sense. And I don't see a lot of player for player trades anyways.
I know. I wish there were. If they just made the contracts 100% guaranteed, then you'd get the basketball baseball trades that you see, which I love. But yeah, with NFL owners and the dead cap and all that stupid stuff, it just makes it so hard. So, yeah, in essence, yes, I consider defensive tackle and wide receiver on the same playing field as far as premium position tiers. I think that they're equivalent to each other. The problem is selling damaged goods. I don't like selling low. You already paid out so much dead cap. You're already the dead cap kings. The 49ers have over $100 million dead cap this year and next year combined. You're paying $100 million salary cap to players to play for other teams. This would make it even worse. So I think you got to stick with Ayuk at this point. Now, the good news is this draft is loaded with talent. And so before we get to draft talk, sorry, I gotta pace myself here. We haven't talked defensive ends. That's our number nine, our second most important thing. And man, release Leonard Floyd. You were in the market for Bosa, but you didn't want to pay up, so you lost him. I don't think that was a bad decision, by the way. But yeah, you have literally Nick. Here's the defensive edge on your team currently: Nick Bosa, giant gap, Sam Okwuanu, Alex Barrett, Robert Beal, Etor Gross-Matos. You want to put him in there? We'll see. I'm not sure if he's going to stick around. Drake Jackson, Teron Jackson, Jonathan Garvin. Outside of Nick Bosa, this is the worst defensive end group in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that this is tough. You know, I was surprised that the Floyd release happened without a Bosa signing or without a difference maker, a defensive end signing. I thought that was interesting, but ultimately, they have some sort of decision to make there. Now, we know Floyd was over 30 years old. They are trying to get younger. Etor Gross-Matos is still a pretty young guy. So I think it makes sense why they decided between the two to go with Gross-Matos. And I think that they think his season last year was derailed because of the injuries. And I don't think they're wrong. I think he would have had a better season if he would have been healthy the entire time. But it's become a big need now. I think it could be addressed still in free agency if they can find the right price for the right player. There's still some guys out there. And then I think you have to address it in the draft. But we've been talking about this for a while. There's some really good defensive ends in the first three rounds. I think there's some guys even later on that could be niche-type players, guys that bring, you know, pressure off the edge. You're talking fourth round. You could get a guy like Cue Robinson from Alabama that can bring pressure off the edge. So there's guys in this draft. And, you know, we've been talking, what, Nick Scorton, you know, Mykel Williams, like all these guys. Those guys are all still in the mix for the 49ers in round one. They could absolutely go edge and play somebody next to Bosa and have Gross-Matos as the backup. But it's a position of need for sure because I don't think we know who the legitimate starter is opposite of Bosa right now. I would lean towards Gross Matos, but I don't feel confident in it right now. Robert Beal Jr. is not going to be a starter in the NFL. So I don't really know where they go, but I figure they got some sort of a plan. I'm just having to trust. That's one of the things that's frustrating about this process. We don't know what the 49ers plan is right now.
Yeah, you look at Yetur Gross-Matos ranked 111th out of 119 edge players last year. My two starters would be Sam O, opposite of Nick Bosa. But again, he's a good player, but he's an undrafted free agent that performed well over. And so, yeah, maybe if Yetur gets healthy and plays to his whatever, that's fine. But it's rough, man. That's huge. Right here, we got a super chat from Ver Niner. He says, quarterback aside, picking some of these lower string free agents caused them to pass on higher draft talent. Which position would you worry about this happening? Linebacker is one of the ones for me. You got a lot of bodies in that room and a lot of young pups and a lot of potential. But, yeah, I'm a little worried they might not draft another off-ball linebacker thinking because they went and got all these younger guys. What about you, Ann? Is there a position where you're like, they patched it, but they still need to address this early in the draft?
Yeah, I think that, I think linebacker is one of those. I think it is because I think Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, that grouping together, did such a great job of identifying late linebackers and then developing them into really good football players. You just look at, Dre Greenlaw, fifth-round pick. You look at Azeez Al-Shaair, he was undrafted. And so I think that they might fall into that thought process. And I do think that there's guys out there. There's a guy that I love from Memphis, Chandler Martin. This guy flies around. He makes plays, a little undersized. But you're talking about a guy that drops the hammer and finds ways to make plays all the time. He just seems like a 49ers guy. So I could see them going later in the draft for a linebacker and thinking they could develop them into a starter. Same way they did with Tatum Bethune. Maybe they see something in him. So linebacker does make sense, even though, man, I wish they would go higher. First three rounds for linebacker, get somebody that can step in day one and make plays for your football team.
Linebacker is my favorite position. It's my favorite. Now, the one thing that is kind of saving grace is linebackers, off-ball linebackers always fall in the draft, almost always. And so if that takes place and you can spend, a fourth round instead of a third or whatever else, but yeah, I really, really, really want to draft a linebacker at some point in this draft. I just think it's too important. Now, sticking with that same concept, Alan asked this earlier. Appreciate the question. John, does Mac Jones make you change your stance on acquiring a day three height, weight, speed prospect? It makes me push it back. And again, my philosophy is this. If you don't have a top five quarterback, I'm always taking dart throws to try to get one of those type of quarterbacks. I believe Brock Purdy can be a top five guy, but he's played above his talents. Again, not a strong arm, not big, not fast, not he's quick. I get that. But I would love to take a guy late. But this does push that back. Whereas before, if you took a fourth or fifth rounder, I'd be cool with that. Now I'm like, okay, sixth, seventh rounder. Somebody like a Joe Milton, somebody that is a big, whatever, height, weight, speed guy at the quarterback position. Because, yeah, you got three quarterbacks, but Tanner Mordecai might just be where he is, which is a practice squad quarterback that maybe a couple years down the line could evolve into something. But, yeah, I'm still – that quarterback three, I would be fine spending a sixth, seventh round pick on quarterback. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the 49ers hit on a seventh-round quarterback with Brock Purdy, and I think that we've seen them consistently look for guys that are late rounds or even undrafted free agents when you talk about Tanner Mordecai and others. So I think that that's probably, especially with the way the compensatory picks worked out, they have the extra seventh-rounder now. I think it's a little bit easier to take a dart throw at a quarterback there and then potentially, even an undrafted guy. But we've seen the 49ers be worried about quarterback three for a while. So I don't think they're just going to rest with it being Tanner Mordecai. And I know there's some people that are very high on Mordecai. I don't think I've seen enough to get very high on him yet. So I do think that they will get a quarterback. But right now, I would say it's probably one of those last two picks in the seventh round or undrafted free agent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm cool with that too. This is not a great quarterback draft. But if you get a guy that falls, yeah, take a flyer all the time. Quarterback is just like, I don't care. Even if I had Josh Allen, I still don't mind taking flyers. I don't care who it is. quarterback is so damn valuable. If you have one, backups, you need them all the time. And I love that. Like, you look at the Patriots, they go get Drake May, and he hit. He was my quarterback too, which was right. I just had the wrong order with number one. But that doesn't mean that the Milton pick was a bad pick. It was a great pick. And so, yes, there is always need for quarterbacks all the time. So I'm still swinging for the fences there. That's going to wrap up our show, Ant. I don't know if I feel better. We got some McCorkle talk in. We ranked the biggest positions. And there's a lot. In the past, there's always this idea. Like, I always get the comment, there's not enough room for these draft picks on the roster. I don't think we're going to get those comments this year.
No.
It's rough.
There's plenty of room. Plenty of room for the draft picks. You could actually get more draft picks by trading back. I think the 49ers would love to walk away with this draft with at least 11 players, which they have the picks for. But I think if you told them they could get 13, I think they'd be interested.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we trade back. Still my favorite. I think it's everybody's favorite. You just got to have somebody to dance with. That's kind of what you got to do. Oh, well, actually, I have this in my notes for a future show, so it adds this. Let's do this. Would you trade with Seattle? Seattle picks pick 18. If Tet McMillan is on the board, they want to trade up for that wide receiver. Would you swap from 11 down to 18? If you go to the draft pick trade chart, basically it would cost the Seahawks their third-round pick this year and a third-round next year. Would you do that knowing a wide receiver, a stud wide receiver, would go in your division and help Sam Darnold? Would you still do the trade?
Yeah, I would, because I'm always thinking that me getting the picks, that I'm going to do more than they're going to do. And so, I mean, I love Tet McMillan. I think he's a very talented player. But, you know, they've still got to figure out a bunch of things there. I'm not really concerned about them overall. So I would do it. I know that divisional trades happen. They're not very, you know, common, but they do happen. But I think that would benefit both teams. And I don't know. I just think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are kind of the type that's like, you're going to make a mistake with your pick and we're going to hit it with our picks. Let's go ahead and get it done.
I love the philosophy of, I'm going to do what's best for my team. I'm not going to worry about your team. Does this make the 49ers better? The answer is yes. I'm getting as many third round picks as I possibly can. And again, this doesn't make sense on the trade chart. And I understand that people will disagree with this take, but I truly believe this. I would take two middle third rounders this year than the number 11 overall pick. I know that doesn't make sense, and I know, like, you're not going to trade back for that, but I'm telling you, every single time I do a damn mock draft and I'm in the third round, I'm like, yep. Like, that is the sweet spot. So if I could do anything, and I know everybody always says, like, oh, trade back and get a second. Not one time this millennia has the number 11 overall pick been traded for a second round pick being included at all. You get thirds or you get future firsts. That's it. It just hasn't happened. Teams don't trade first and second rounders together to get in the 11th spot. So that ain't going to happen. So third rounds, possibility, I would totally do it. Man, I would fall back to, like, you give me I want a third round pick. I want all the third round picks, man. I want third round picks. Well, anyway, Ant, you are the third round pick in my eyes. Amazing show. What do we have coming up next on 49ers Cutback? And yeah, talk to us just about kind of your schedule upcoming.
Yeah, so depending on what happens, I've been kind of playing this thing by ear. I'm still continuing with my draft talk. So I've been breaking down second day players, day two players, rounds two and three. So something like that's going to come out tomorrow. I've been working on some things. And then Sunday, I've been doing the Red and Bold show with Mark Adams. So come check that out. We've been doing around 1 p.m. So, you know, come check it out on Sunday. Stop by, say hi to Mark. And it's always a lot of fun. He has a unique perspective on, you know, 49ers, kind of a writing mentality. And so we have a lot of fun with that. So come check those things out over the weekend.
Yeah, I like it. Mark's good people, man. He's a great guy. Anyway, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate all of you. Head to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com right now. Get your tickets for day one and day two of the draft. Come party with me and Ant. We're going to have a good time. And until next time, you guys are all third-round picks. You are the best. You are not McCorkles. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.